Today, you're going to hear the incredible story of how one Harvard professor was able to determine that one word can increase your email response rates, increase your meeting acceptances, and increase any scenario that you need to ask for compliance from a prospect, a client, or even a colleague. Today, we'll learn how she did that, what the word was, and how much of a difference did it actually make. I'm Mark McGuinness, founder of Sales Development Australia and Outbound Sales Trainer. This is the Best of Sales Skills podcast. Thank you for listening. So when it comes to trying to figure out how much can using persuasion or influence actually create a higher level of agreement, there's really already been done some fantastic research. So a lot of this research that we're talking about has been around for 70 or 80 years. It's all based on human psychology. And, you know, there have been some really clever people that have done some research. And today I'm going to share with you a great story, a great true story about some research that a lady called Ellen Langer did. And she was actually the first female professor at Harvard University to study or to teach, I should say, psychology. Human psychology. So this is her research. So it's Harvard research. And what she did during 1979, 1980 was to try and figure out what's the most persuasive way to deliver a message to try and get some compliance. So increase the chance to get a yes and decrease the chance to get a no. And also to find out, you know, is it worth our while going to the effort to create, you know, a more persuasive copy or a more persuasive conversation? And the answer is yes, but exactly how much is it more persuasive? So we've got a really cool study to share with you. And if you go online and Google the Xerox study from, I think it's 1979, or look at Ellen Langer, E-L-L-E-N Langer from Harvard, you'll find her research is there and it's been proven. And I believe they ran a similar survey to this more recently, like in the last 10 years or so, and found the results were pretty much the same. But the first research, the first study that she did is more interesting. So we'll stick with the true 1979 version. So think about 1979 in New York, and there's lots of legal firms there, and in all the legal firms, they've mostly got male solicitors or male attorneys, as they're called in America, and they've got female legal secretaries. And every day or the day before, the attorneys are going to court. Of course, so when they go to court, they've got to take a whole bunch of business records with them, and they take hundreds and hundreds of pages in their folders. And their legal secretaries would prepare those folders for them in the days beforehand. And that would entail standing in line with lots of other legal secretaries waiting for the Xerox machines that were very expensive in the late 70s, early 80s. And they'd be photocopying hundreds of pages to give to the attorney to take to court, right? And the ladies or the girls would be all standing there in line having a chat. And what Ellen thought she could do was to create a couple of different scripts to see how effectively she'd be able to cut the line, to push into those photocopy lines. And remember, you know, people are standing there for quite some time. And so what she did was she developed three different scripts and got actresses all across New York to go and see how persuasive they'd be with delivering different methodologies. And this is what this research is built on, and that's really, really quite compelling. And so the first group went around and they said, look, I've got five copies. I only have five copies to make. Can I jump the queue because I'm in a rush? I only have five copies to make. Can I jump the queue because I'm in a rush? 94% of the time, they were able to cut the queue, print their five copies, and get out of there. So that's pretty compelling. And when you think about everybody else had hundreds of pages, it probably makes sense. The second group went, I've got five copies to make, can I jump the queue? And what we found was, or what Ellen found, was that about 60% of people would let them in with that phrase, I've got five copies to make, can I jump the queue? So that's a 34% decrease in the level of compliance between, I've only got five copies to make, can I jump the queue because I'm in a rush, to the second one, which is, I've only got five copies to make, can I jump the queue? What's really interesting, though, is a third group of actresses tried, I've only got five copies to make, can I jump the queue because I've got to make some copies? And what they found was 93% of people would let them in. So almost the same as the first one, but it's still a 33% increase in compliance. And what Alan's team found, the Harvard team found, was that just by simply giving any excuse, you know, so the excuse being because I've got to make some copies. Now, you and I might be the same as me and thinking, well, because I've got to make some copies is not really an excuse. But what the Harvard team found was that any excuse was going to create the same impact as a really great excuse, such as I'm in a rush. Right. And the learning for us is that by just making some small changes to the way that we phrase our language quite deliberately, we can increase the level of compliance by around 30-33%. So that's a massive difference. So instead of just saying, you know, I've got five copies to make, can I jump the queue? If you instead say because and then almost anything afterwards, you're going to get a 30% increase of compliance. So what can we take from that as salespeople and business people when we're trying to increase our levels of compliance around the office with our clients or with our prospects? And the answer for this particular instance is clear. Make sure you've got an excuse. Now, this can be a real challenge for those of you who are spending some time trying to figure out how to create more persuasive or more influential copy. Because what's typically happening in these scenarios is we're using our neocortex, the big part of our brain that does our big thinking, to think about, you know, this particular, how can I be more influential, how can I be more persuasive? But your neocortex is very analytical, and it's when it sees something written down, I've only got five copies to make, can I jump the queue because I've got to make some copies, your neocortex says that doesn't make sense. But what happens is we need to remember that we're not trying to trigger our neocortex with these requests, are we? We're trying to trigger the very front part of our brain, what we call the crocodile brain, which is going to act more on reflex. And even though we're using a neocortex to think about the script, we need to think about what do we need to do to try and increase the chances we're going to get a yes and decrease the chances we'll get a no and trigger that crocodile brain. And Dr. Alan Langer says that by adding an excuse, even if it doesn't make any sense, you'll get the same level of compliance. Give it a try. I'm Mark McGuinness. I hope you find that to be useful. See you on the next one.